It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll look at the legal issues facing a plan to divert Great Lakes water for the Foxconn plant in Mount Pleasant. First, it's time for our weekly review of national news. The House Freedom Caucus is floating their own candidate for House Speaker. Mike Pompeo is getting set for confirmation hearings as Secretary of State after it was revealed that he met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, and a bill to protect Special Counsel Robert Mueller looks unlikely to reach a vote in the U.S. Senate. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see out of the next Speaker of the House? What do you think of Mike Pompeo meeting with Kim Jong-un to talk about North Korea? How do you think he would handle that situation as Secretary of State? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Julie Grace Brufke is Capitol reporter at The Hill. Julie Grace, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about who might succeed Paul Ryan as the leader of Republicans in the U.S. House. This is something that probably won't happen yet. He's staying in the House for a while, but there's an open contention for who's going to replace him, right?
That there is. Well, he's endorsed House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who seems to be the front runner at the moment. But Kevin McCarthy right now doesn't have the conservative votes to get to the 218 he needs to secure the position. Steve Scalise, his name has also been floated. He's expressed interest in the position if Kevin McCarthy isn't able to secure the votes needed, which in 2015, after his comments in Benghazi, he wasn't able to do. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And then Jim Jordan has said that he's considering a bid, which, I mean, I don't see any path for Jim Jordan to get there. I feel like he hasn't been able to get votes for committee chairmanships in the past. He's kind of doesn't have the best relationship with leadership, but it could be a good way for the Freedom Caucus to get better committee positions or possibly someone from the caucus in some type of lower leadership role. So, yeah.
Talk about the House Freedom Caucus a little bit and their role in recent debates in the House.
Now, I mean, they've been, they were responsible, obviously, for largely part of why John Boehner left. And I mean, the omnibus, they were highly critical of the spending levels there and some of the riders that were on that. So I think that they're really looking, I mean, I've talked to a bunch of House Freedom Caucus members at this point about leadership races, and they haven't endorsed anyone yet, but they said they need somebody that's going to be able to push conservative principles forward. And right now they feel like they haven't seen that. My guess is they probably cut a deal with one of the, either Scalise or McCarthy. And, I know that they're trying to put together a list of demands of things that they'd like before they agree to give that voting block up there. But yeah, I mean, they've kind of been a thorn in leadership's side since they were created. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Now, this is April. Speaker Ryan is staying on the job until January and the new House takes over. Theoretically, he was going to stay House Speaker, but it sounds like there's some rumblings from Republicans in the House that, hey, maybe we should switch this now.
There are. I've talked to a handful of members on background. There haven't been a ton of people that have gone on the record about it that feel that the palace intrigue surrounding who's going to be his successor is distracting them getting things done, that it's going to be a problem with fundraising, that donors are going to want to know who's going to be leading the party, that they just kind of need a game plan in place ahead of midterms. And but for the most part, members that I've talked to have seemed relatively supportive of the speaker remaining in his role. But I mean, as weeks go on, we'll see. I think what fundraising numbers look like next time around, next time those are released, they'll probably have a lot to do with whether or not people are happy with how things are currently standing.
And one thing that Republicans may be worried about is that come January, they may not be electing a House Speaker. Depending on which polls you look at and who you talk to, they might be electing a House Minority Leader come 2019.
That is true. And a lot of the members that I've spoken to said that the person that they'd like to see is a speaker isn't necessarily the same person that they'd like to see as a minority leader, that there'd be different qualities that they'd like to see in either position. So I think that's going to be a huge factor in who ends up succeeding him there. But yeah, I Whether he ends up, I mean, if there ultimately are enough members that are pushing to oust him out of his current leadership role, I mean, they could have a speaker for a few months there. And then if they lose the majority, who knows if that person would be reelected or whether we'll see a whole new batch of leadership members.
Talking to Julie Grace Brufke, Capitol reporter at The Hill. It's our weekly look at the latest in national politics. Also on Capitol Hill, Julie, the Mike Pompeo confirmation effort, he's the nominee for Secretary of State, coming from that CIA director job. Before we get to that, though, it turns out he traveled to North Korea. It sounds like met with Kim Jong-un at the beginning of the month, trying to pave the way toward negotiations there. What do we know about that trip?
Now, I've been on the House side all day, so I don't have a ton of details on what actually happened on the trip there. But I know that a lot of Republicans that I've spoken to that are pushing for his confirmation feel that if he doesn't pass the confirmation process, that it'll kind of throw a wrench in the talks that President Trump's supposed to have with Kim Jong-un that's going to cause problems with Syria, foreign policy in general. So they're arguing that somebody needs to replace Rex Tillerson quickly so they can get that back on track.
I want to take a listen to Democratic Representative Adam Schiff of California. He was asked whether he thinks the meeting between Pompeo and Kim Jong-un was a positive step for U.S. diplomacy.
I think it is good news for diplomacy, and I'm glad that the meeting took place. Look, it's much better than the footing we were on before, where we had the President of the United States and the Supreme Leader comparing the size of our nuclear buttons. So this looks like preparations into a real talk between our president and the leader of North Korea.
So it could be some bipartisan support there for these diplomatic efforts, Julie.
Sorry, I had a hard time hearing you.
Sounds like there may be bipartisan support for this Trump White House effort to talk to Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that's largely what I've heard. I think that most of the members I've spoken with feel it's a step in the right direction, that the diplomatic approach for any type of military approach and kind of trying to get things under control over there seems to be the general consensus among members.
And let's talk about the confirmation here. It sounds like Pompeo may not get approved by the committee he's before right now, the Foreign Affairs Committee, but it sounds likely that he'll end up getting voted through in the full Senate. I know you're on the House side, but what are you hearing over there?
Mm-hmm. Now, from what I've heard over there, it's not looking good for him in committee. But, Rand Paul is the only Republican that's come out against him at this point. Feels he's too hawkish, which is a lot of the Democrats' complaint as well. I think it's going to be a close vote. Jeff Flake said yesterday that he was on the fence, that he was waiting for some questions to be answered. And with McCain out, that definitely is an issue for Republicans. But I think ultimately he'll be able to get the votes, especially if Pence comes in to vote, to ultimately be confirmed.
We're talking to Julie Grace Brufke, Capitol reporter for The Hill, checking in on the week's top political news. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should the Senate in particular confirm Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State? Coming up, we're going to get into the Mueller probe. Congress, it looks like, is not going to pass a bill that protects Robert Mueller's job, protects him from being fired by the president. Should Congress do that? Should they not? Are you worried that Robert Mueller is at risk of being fired? And some Republicans are saying, hey, we should scale back some of the spending we passed earlier in this big omnibus package. Do you think that's a good idea, or should it stand as passed? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. Right now, we continue our conversation with Julie Grace Brufke, Capitol reporter at The Hill. It's our weekly look at the latest political news in national politics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Looks like Congress is not going to pass a law to protect Robert Mueller from being fired by the president. What do you think of that decision? Should they pass a law like that? Do you think Mueller will be fired? Do you think he should be fired by the president, by the Department of Justice? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's talk about that decision on Robert Mueller, Julie Grace. There was talk, some bipartisan legislation, it looked like, to protect his job. What's happened now?
So in the House side, Charlie Dent and Peter Welch, bipartisan bill that would have protected Mueller from being removed as special counsel had been introduced. Grassley on the Senate side had introduced something similar. But both sides of leadership, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, have both said they don't think it's necessary. They've received assurances from the White House that they don't think he's going to be fired, that the investigation will carry on. So it conservatives had called for him to be fired. They feel there's been they feel that there's been the case has been compromised, and yeah, it's it doesn't look like they're going to be able to take they're planning on taking up that bill.
And I want to move on, Julie. I want to move on to a piece that you wrote. Actually, the House, well, Congress as a whole, passed this big omnibus bill, taxes and spending, resulting, people are concerned, in big deficits. And as you wrote, some Republicans are saying, hey, let's go back into this now and cut some of that spending. What are we hearing?
So Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader, and President Donald Trump have been in talks about possibly trying to take up a rescissions package. So the White House would send over requests to claw back certain provisions of the omnibus, that had passed back in March. Now, I've heard mixed things. Critics feel that it's going to hinder Republicans' ability to negotiate deals in the future. Can't just kind of renege on a deal. He argues that they need to see what they're putting forward before they shoot it down. Mitch McConnell said at his press conference this week that that there's no way the Senate's taking it up. So it appears to be dead in the upper chamber. I think the White House, last I had spoken to sources over there, were planning in early May to send over the rescission. So, I mean, unless Mitch McConnell changes his mind, I think it's essentially dead in the House. But stranger things have happened. Maybe Mitch McConnell will have a change of heart on his plans over there.
Let's bring on a caller on this now. Nate is with us in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi, thank you for having me. I would say this changing the spending would be a big change from the way things are usually done, in that they already made agreements on this is what gets spent. But frankly, if they're going to do that, how about they help deal with the federal budget deficit by taking away the tax cut that they just put through that'll put a big hole in the federal budget?
Nate, thanks for the call, Nate. Julie, if they're unlikely to tackle the spending side of thing, it sounds like they probably wouldn't want to go back on those tax cuts at the same time.
Now, Democrats have made that argument, and I don't see the tax cuts going anywhere soon, unless Democrats take back the majority. Republicans are their main talking point during in the upcoming election is tax reform. So they argue that that's going to eventually pay for itself in economic growth, and it's really spending that needs to be controlled ultimately. So as long as it's Republican controlled Congress, I don't see any changes happening.
With the spending rescissions, you talked earlier about the Freedom Caucus further on the right of the Republican Party looking for compromises. Could the House maybe tackle these rescissions, even knowing it's not going to go to the Senate, just to throw a bone to a Freedom Caucus member saying, hey, we can at least have this symbolic vote to go back and cut that spending?
I mean, absolutely. I think that's a large part of why they're considering it. A talking point to kind of restore the image of fiscal responsibility in the party ahead of midterms. I also don't think that's going to hurt Kevin McCarthy's chances of getting on the Freedom Caucus's good side ahead of leadership elections. It's a symbolic gesture, kind of like the balanced budget amendment vote that they had a couple weeks back. It's definitely something they could use as a talking point going forward. is election season is upon us now.
And you had mentioned the kind of idea of Republicans maybe being worried about their brands and the higher deficits, the new deficit numbers we're seeing coming out. Is that something you hear House members talking about, a little buyer's remorse when these trillion-dollar deficits are projected?
And I haven't heard too many Republicans complain about the tax bill. Ultimately, I feel like they're pretty happy with how that's turned out, campaigning on it. I have heard a lot of grievances about the omnibus. Obviously, the president wasn't a big fan of the omnibus. He came out in a press conference after he signed it saying he wouldn't sign another bill like that going forward. I mean, Democrats definitely got a lot of wins in the omnibus, but I'm not sure without having a supermajority in the Senate that they could have gotten anything much better that would have been able to pass over there.
Nate, thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. It's our weekly roundup of national politics. We have Julie Grace Brufke with us, Capitol reporter at The Hill. We're looking at some of the big stories. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Should Congress have protected Robert Mueller's job? Are you worried about him being fired? What do you think about this idea? Looks like it's probably not going to happen, of going back to that big spending compromise bill and cutting some of the spending in it. Call in at 800-642-1234. And what do you make of a growing list of Republicans announcing they're not running for re-election or even leaving the House now? And Julie Grace, I wanted to touch on one of those, Representative Dent, who you mentioned earlier. He had already said, hey, I'm not running again this year. He's a Republican. Now he's saying, I'm going to get out now, sooner. What do you make of that story, first of all?
Now, I had spoken with Charlie Dent right after he initially announced that he was going to retire a few months back. I know that he's grown frustrated with how the dysfunction in Washington and the partisanship. And he said that it wasn't necessarily the Trump administration that made him want to leave, that he'd been considering it for a long time. My guess is he's probably starting to entertain job offers and look for new opportunities. Had he run again, he would have had a difficult reelection with the way Pennsylvania just had their map redrawn. So I think ultimately he's just kind of over it
and
ready to get out.
And he's one of a fairly large group now of Republican House members, either getting out of politics for now, running for other office one way or the other. They're not coming back to the House. Is that something you hear a concern about from House Republicans?
It's definitely, I feel like, been a larger than average number of people that have announced retirements. And there's definitely a large number of committee chairmen that are leaving along with, I think it's something up 40 members that have announced that they're retiring. I think there's definitely some concern, especially certain districts like Brian Costello and Pat Meehan's former district in Pennsylvania. I think New Jersey is going to be a big problem with them. There's been Frelinghuysen seats. I mean, there's just been, if you look at Cook Political Report, there have been a lot of seats recently that have shifted from likely or safe red to leans Republican toss-up. So I think it's going to be an interesting election year. I think it's going to be hard for Republicans, but right now I'd give it a 50-50 chance of them holding on to the majority.
I want to bring in another caller now on the Mueller issue. Deb is with us in Vesper. Deb, hi.
Hi. I would like to say, April 23rd, the Supreme Court has a scheduled debate with Lucia versus the Securities Exchange that will determine the president's power to fire various officers, including and up to Robert Mueller. And I believe that Mitch McConnell is not allowing this vote to protect Mueller because of no laws on the books. They'll be free to do with them what they want with them.
Deb, thanks for that call. We'll be talking about the Supreme Court tomorrow with Adam Liptak, Supreme Court reporter for the New York Times, and we'll bring that up with him. But, Julie, do you get a sense that Mitch McConnell didn't want to offend the president by passing a law aimed at protecting Robert Mueller?
I mean, I'm not sure if it's so much that. I think it's a touchy thing to bring up, especially in election year. It's kind of a polarizing topic. I mean, had they not received assurances that he wasn't going to be fired from the White House, I think we'd probably be looking at a different situation. Whether things change down the road and they ultimately decide to bring it up, if the White House decides to flip on that and it's looking like he's going to be removed, I think it's, we might see a different situation, but it's hard to predict. I feel like the entire Russia investigation has been almost stranger than fiction. It's an interesting area to cover.
And I wanted, before we run out of time, to bring up the passing of former First Lady Barbara Bush. She passed away last night at the age of 92. Can you talk a little bit about what people are saying around Washington about her legacy?
Both sides of the aisle have expressed their condolences and been touting her different accomplishments. And I think both parties have a lot of respect for the things she's accomplished. And I mean, overall, I think it's a loss for Washington.
Yeah, she seems like one of the few non-polarizing people I can think of, president or first lady, in a lot of years. Is that how people are talking about her?
Yeah, I'd say that's a good characterization. I saw, obviously, almost every office released a statement. And I would definitely say that it's one of the things everyone's kind of unified in is their praise of.
Well, Julie Grace, thanks a lot for joining us this week. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's Julie Grace Brufke, Capitol reporter at The Hill. She joined us for a weekly look at the top national news. Again, tomorrow afternoon, we'll look at some of the cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, including big cases related to immigration and deportation.